to go.
Fabulous. I'm putting that in.
Yeah. That's actually for my hip, but it was funnier to say but. I'm old. I'm elderly and I'm 25. What?
All of my YouTube ads are for old people.
Ooh. 2020 really aged us. Let's be honest. You were aged prior.
Well before 2020.
Like fine cheese. But then that cheese got a little moldy and not in a good way.
You're making blue cheese now.
But not like, no.
Hey, I'm trying, man. Honestly, I did leave 2020 better than when I entered it, so.
Okay, I thought you were saying you like left something somewhere on purpose. I got really confused. 2020.
Yeah, I just left it there. I have no idea where it is now.
Okay, well, okay, maybe so, we should welcome yeah. people to this thing.
Hi, and welcome back to I'll Tell You What, a Spoopy Podcast. I'm Ashlyn.
And I'm Miranda.
We're here. We're ready to get this ball rolling. It's, like we said, it's been a busy past few months. I got a new job. I had to be in a different place to train for it. And so I wasn't here most of the Christmas season.
Yeah, lame.
Like, every waking moment was spent reading training manuals.
Yeah.
And
that's what you get for getting a fancy new job. So
for being employed,
it took, I had literally no excuse for not posting. I did every so often, but I had all these lofty plans and did none of them.
I know. So did I. Except I have an excuse.
But you have an excuse, and I really don't, because I sort of do. I had a whole week off.
Oof.
But that was spent helping my poor niece and nephew learn at home, school from home. There we go. Anywho, before we get completely started, we might as well put this in there. Make sure to rate and review on whatever you're listening on, whatever your favorite platform
yeah,
is.
That'd be
follow
snazzy.
Us. You know, click that little follow button, which we typically always post on Spoopy Saturday, and I'll tell you Tuesday. So
yeah. This week, we're kind of taking a little turn, though.
Oh, we
are. Well, you know how you do Spoopy Saturdays?
Yes.
Well, this episode's going to be a bit spoopy.
Excuse me, are you stepping on my turf?
A little bit.
Why are you stepping on my turf, Ashlyn?
Because it's a curse.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fine.
Curses, cults, and conspiracies are Ashlyn's thing, apparently.
The CCC.
So now that you know it's going to be spoopy, Miranda, I'll tell you what.
What?
I'll tell you about the Dybbuk box.
The Dybbuk box. I know about the Dybbuk box.
Do you, though?
I've heard about the Dybbuk box in multiple podcasts.
Well,
I am an enthusiast of the occult.
And the spoops.
And the spoops.
So this one was actually suggested by David Metis of Metis Media.
Yes.
He actually hosts a podcast with his daughter called Fun Fact Fridays with Leela and David.
Sure does.
And I quite enjoy that podcast, partially because it caters to my, you know, film major trivia, fangirl, comic book kind of thing. They did an episode recently on superheroes and
fun.
I quite enjoyed that.
Very cute.
Yeah.
So go check them out.
You could follow David on Twitter at D-E Metis, M-E-D-U-S, or go to metismedia.com. MEDUSMEDIA.com. So the Dybbuk box.
Yes.
Let's get into this. The Dybbuk box is specifically a cursed wine box that is being haunted by a Dybbuk.
Oh, I didn't know it was a wine box. I thought it was like, I've read on this and I've watched videos on this and I have listened to podcasts on this and never did I hear that it was a wine box. I thought it was like a yeah. wardrobe. Like what mom has?
No, it's a wine box. And I can tell you that for certain because I read the original eBay posting.
Oh.
I found that. And good I'll post you. A link to it so other people can read it. So this box was the inspiration for the 2012 film, The Possession.
Oh, that's what that's about. I don't know. I don't watch horror movies. I don't pay attention to any of them. I like real things only. Thank you. I don't know why I'm less afraid of, like, real true crime and real hauntings than I am of fake ones.
She's like, do not give me a movie with a serial killer unless that serial killer actually killed people in real life.
Yeah.
Thank
don't
you.
Don't want it. Don't need it. Not interested.
So, it's thought to be one of the most cursed items out there.
Yes.
So what is
let me act like I've never heard anything about this before.
So what is a Dybbuk, Miranda? Since you know so much.
I don't remember. Some mythological, not really mythological, but demon, basically.
Kind of.
It's a demon.
Do you know,
it's a shadow demon.
Yeah, but do you know, where it comes from in the world?
Russia.
No.
No, it sounds so Russian.
No, it's actually from Jewish mythology.
Ah, I knew that. Dang it. Well, hey, wait. Wait. A lot of Jewish people lived in Russia for a long time.
Yeah, but where it actually comes from German and Polish Jewish people, so...
Shut up.
Anyway, a Dybbuk, specifically, is said to be a malevolent spirit that basically attaches to a person's soul, thus possessing them.
But a wine box doesn't have a soul.
Continuing on, the spirit can talk for the person, cause an onset of mental illness, and craft a new alien personality for the person.
So someone is possessed.
Yeah, basically.
It just sounds like...
And the way to get rid of them is via an exorcism kind of
deal. It just sounds like a normal class A possession.
Basically, yeah. Just less Catholic, more Jewish. So it should be noted that the word Dybbuk did not appear in the original ancient Jewish texts.
Yes, it was made up later.
The term was formed from the language of German and Polish Jewish people. The evil spirit was said to cleave itself to its host's soul.
Cleave.
Yes. Here actually means to cling or keep close. If you read the word cleave, in the Bible and things cleavage. Like that, it means to hold close or to attach almost.
It's like cleavage.
No. I'm not. Anyway, moving
Originally,
on.
Originally, my mind went to cleaver.
So they called such spirits Dybbuk Meru'a Ra'a, which means a cleavage of an evil spirit.
And from my many years of choir... That is pretty accurate. However, we all know how accurate.
I thought you were going to bring up cleavage again.
No. Jeez, Ashlyn. I move on from jokes. Thank you.
Dybbuk is actually the word that means to cleave or attach.
Like cleavage.
You just said.
Yes, but I knew if I did it, I got your guard down, and then I waited. I was biding my time. This is comedy. The art comedia.
All right. So, the story of the Dybbuk box.
Yes, please tell me the story of the Dybbuk box.
So, in 2001... I was in second grade.
Yes.
This was in kindergarten. 19 years ago. 20 years ago, almost. Yeah. So in 2001, one Kevin Manis bought a wine box from an estate sale.
Okay.
He owned a small furniture refinishing business and hoped to pick up some pieces. The woman hosting the sale was the granddaughter of the owner of the estate, a woman who passed away at the age of 103.
Jesus.
Yeah, the host's grandmother had grown up in Poland and even raised a family there. She had a husband, two sons, and a daughter. Unfortunately, she was sent to a Nazi concentration camp.
Oh, no.
And she was the only one in her family to survive the camp.
Oh, no.
Including her parents and siblings.
No.
Yeah. So she survived by escaping with a group and finding refuge in Spain until the end of the war.
Oh, wow.
And so she actually acquired this box while in Spain. Oh, yeah. And it was one of only three things she brought with her when she came to America. A steamer trunk and a sewing box were the other two items. Of those items, Kevin purchased the wine box and the sewing box. Hmm. After his purchase, the granddaughter approached him and told him that her grandmother had kept the box in her sitting room and that it was never to be opened.
Okay.
Whenever the granddaughter had asked what was inside, the grandmother spit three times through her fingers, said Dybbuk, then Keselim. The spitting through the fingers three times was a Jewish custom.
Mm-hmm.
One did it in response to something either particularly good or particularly evil.
Mm.
The word Keselim is a little harder to figure out. It's apparently a Turkish word that means let's cut or let's stop in English. Kevin didn't know this and neither did the granddaughter.
Mm.
So this could be the grandmother saying to drop the subject, let's cut this out, kind of thing. But it also could just be the wrong word or a misspelling.
Mm-hmm.
And she could have meant completely different.
Or she just misheard the word, misinterpretation or something.
Yes. Manus also admitted that neither he nor the granddaughter knew what a Dybbuk was.
Okay.
So, yeah, the grandmother called it a Dybbuk, was in there, but neither of them knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
The grandmother would always emphasize how the box was never to be opened and gave instructions saying that the box was to be buried with her when she died.
However, but her granddaughter had to be a little...
No. So the thing is that this goes against the customs of Orthodox Judaism.
Oh.
So the request wasn't followed. Manus offered to let the granddaughter keep the wine box without refunding him, assuming it was of sentimental value.
Yeah.
However, the granddaughter became upset, insisting that he take the box, saying, "No, no, you bought it." And then when he started insisting, she started saying, "You bought it. You made a deal.
Ooh.
We don't want it." And she then started crying and walked away.
She's like, "No, you're going to take it.
No, no, this is yours.
My goodness gracious.
Get it away from me."
I was
trying
to be nice.
But seriously, get it the heck out of here. Thank you. So nice. Manus brought the box to his refinishing business, hoping to work on it and give it to his mother.
Mm-hmm.
He left to run errands, leaving a saleswoman in charge of minding the store. The woman had been working for him for about 2 years by that point. Half an hour later, the saleswoman called him in hysterics. She was screaming about an intruder being in Manus's workshop and that they were breaking glass and swearing.
Huh.
According to her, the intruder had also locked the shop gates and emergency exit, leaving her without an escape.
So I'm sorry, what kind of shop was this again?
A furniture refinishing shop.
Oh, okay. Oh, so he put it in the shop like he was going to sell it?
Well, like he was going to refinish it. He put it in his workshop, which was attached to his shop. It was like in the basement. Yeah. So Manus told her to call the police as his cell phone died. Like just as his cell phone died, like right after saying that. He rushed back to his shop to find his saleswoman on the floor in a corner of his office, sobbing hysterically.
Oh, jeez.
He ran to his workshop and was hit with the smell of cat urine, despite the fact that no animals had ever been around or found in his shop. As he tried the lights, he found they didn't work. 9 incandescent light bulbs had been smashed in their sockets.
Oh, my God.
10 4-foot fluorescent light rods were found on the floor, destroyed. There was no intruder. The workshop only had one entrance. To escape, the intruder would have to have run into Manus.
Oh my God.
When he returned to the shop, he found that his saleswoman was gone. She never returned, despite the fact that she had been there for 2 years. And refused to talk about the incident.
I am telling you right now, I've worked where I worked for 2 years, and if
this happened, you'd be out.
If this started happening, I'd be like, nope, peace out. Sorry.
So
I'd have a wonderful story to tell.
Be like, nope, I'm not dealing with this.
But I don't get paid enough for that.
So Manus didn't relate the incident to the box yet. As Manus opened the box to begin refinishing it for his mother, he found several items. One was a 1928 U.S. wheat penny, a 1925 U.S. wheat penny, a small lock of blonde hair bound with string, a small lock of brown hair bound with string.
Like baby's hair.
Yeah, like you know.
Baby's first haircut.
Yeah, exactly. A small granite statue, apparently with the word Shalom engraved on it in Hebrew.
Oh, that sounds nice.
One dried rosebud.
Mm-hmm.
One golden wine cup.
Mm-hmm.
And a very strange cast iron candlestick holder with octopus legs.
Ugh.
He tried sending the items back to the granddaughter, but they were refused.
Jeez.
He ultimately...
You opened it! Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So there was also an inscription in Hebrew on the back of the cabinet, but Manus did not know what it said.
Uh-huh.
So I looked it up, and it was later found to be the Shema, which is a Yiddish prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Again, possible mispronunciation. I'm very sorry.
Tell me what the Shema is.
Oh, it's a Yiddish prayer.
Oh, yes, but I thought you were going to tell me what the prayer was.
It's kind of like the Lord's Prayer.
I was excited about this beautiful Yiddish culture you were going to teach me.
I'm sorry.
I love Yiddish culture.
I looked up so much extra stuff. I know. I like learning about it. It's actually really cool.
It's very cool.
So, he gifted the box to his mother on October 31st, 2001.
Oh, on Halloween?
No, it was right after her birthday. So that's
why. Yeah, but literally on Halloween?
I didn't even register that at first.
He had to give it to her on Halloween?
Well, okay, so the thing is...
He's like, here's a haunted box, Mom.
Well, she had gone on like a holiday with his sister mm-hmm. and had just gotten back on the 31st. Mm-hmm. So
okay.
That's when they were doing
convenient,
this.
I'm just saying.
So his mom seemed to like the box. A few minutes after he left her to get some things from his workshop, however, a panicked employee rushed in and got him, saying something was wrong with his mother.
Oh, God.
She had suffered a stroke.
Oh, my God.
She suffered partial paralysis and could not speak until undergoing therapy, but she could still point at letters and spell to communicate.
Oh, my gosh.
So the day after her stroke, Manis visited her to see how she was doing.
And she was like, you gave me a haunted box.
With tears in her eyes. With tears in her eyes, she spelled out, no gift. He thought that she was confused and didn't remember him giving her a gift for her birthday. So she then spelled out, hate gift.
I'm sorry.
So he laughed and took the gift back and promised to like buy her something she actually liked.
Hate the gift. It gave me a stroke.
He still didn't associate this with the box.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean,
You get this creepy box. The granddaughter refuses to take it back.
Seems
you
distraught.
Put it in your workshop. Your best employee of 2 years quits because some freaky stuff happens. You give it to your mom. She has a stroke. Says, I hate box or I hate gift. Couldn't have anything to do with that. No. Just okay. A string of bad luck.
Okay, so Manis then gave the box to his sister.
Oh my God.
She returned it a week later, complaining that the doors kept coming open.
Oh my God.
He then gave the box to his brother and his wife. They returned it three days later.
Oh my God, stop giving this thing to your family.
The brother said it smelled strongly of jasmine flowers, and his wife was adamant that it had the pungent odor of cat urine.
Jesus.
He then gave it to his girlfriend.
Oh my God.
And she told him to sell it after 2 days.
Sell it. Get it out. I'd break up with him.
He then sold it to a couple. They left it on his doorstep 3 days later with a note reading.
Oh my God.
This has bad darkness.
This is bad darkness. Bad juju.
So then he just takes it home.
Oh my God. Still not like really.
Yeah, not really thinking
grasping the concept
like,
here.
When he takes it home, he's still not really like.
Convinced
that anything's really wrong.
Oh, I'm sorry. How many people was that? 10?
Like he didn't think that it was like actually paranormal.
Yes, but
let me
count the people. Granddaughter, mother, sister, brother, and wife. I'm counting them as separate people. Girlfriend and a couple. So that's two more. That is 8 people.
We're like, there's something wrong
with
this.
8 people
were
like, there's something wrong with this box. And he said, I don't think it's the box.
So he takes it home, and he began having this recurring nightmares.
Oh, wait, shot 9 people, the
oh,
employee.
Yeah, the sale.
Oh, my gosh.
So he takes it home, and he begins having this recurring nightmare where he's like walking with someone he trusts, only to look at them and find a demonic-looking hag staring back at him.
Love that.
The hag then attacks him, and when he wakes up, he has bruises where the hag had hit him.
Oh, my gosh.
So, he starts to think that something is paranormal at this next instance.
Oh, really? Yeah. Starts to.
Manis had his sister, brother, and his brother's wife come visit.
Mm-hmm.
After spending the night at the house, the sister told them about a nightmare she had had the night before. And she'd said that she'd had this dream before, but it'd been some time.
Oh, maybe when the box was in her possession?
Don't bury the lead, Miranda. Come on. It was the same dream that Manis was having.
Mm.
The brother and his wife also reported having the exact same nightmare.
So you answered during about a creepy old hag, too?
And they found out that they had all been having nightmares whenever they'd spent the night in a house with the box. Manis called his girlfriend, who confirmed that she had had the same dream. So Manis then starts to think that this conversation also angered like something in the box,
because
things start to go sideways.
The box is like, oh no, they're figuring me out.
Manis started seeing shadow figures in his periphery. Visitors in his home also claimed to see such figures.
Jesus Christ.
So one night he put the box in an outdoor storage unit. He was later awoken by the unit's smoke alarm.
Oh my gosh.
Upon opening it, instead of seeing smoke, he was hit with the scent of cat urine. There was no sign of a fire.
Lovely.
When he went back inside, the smell followed him, despite the fact that he had never owned a cat.
Lovely.
So he goes out and brings the box in to do research, but fell asleep at his computer. Around 4:30 a.m., he woke up feeling as if someone was breathing down his neck. The house now smelled of jasmine flowers. He turned and claims that he saw a huge shadow thing looping down the hallway away from him. So by this point, it was 2012. The box had been in Manus's possession for 11 years.
And he hadn't figured it out yet?
So shortly thereafter, he posted the box on eBay with his full story, begging anyone who was interested in such cursed objects to please take it off his hands. He also included the items that had been in the box originally.
Here's some creepy baby hair and...
Well, so part of the reason he refused to sell the items like separately...
Well, I'm sorry. I really hope you didn't sell creepy locks of baby hair separately.
Well, and he was concerned that, like, there was a reason he didn't want to destroy it, because he was afraid that whatever it was going to stay there with him. And then that's also why he was adamant about keeping all of the items together. Because
he's the one who opened it. Dumb.
Yeah.
You were given a warning.
Anyway, we'll come back to that point, because I'm a little salty. Anyway, so where is the box now? The winner of the eBay auction was one Yosef Nitsky of Kirksville, Missouri. Ah. He was a student at Truman State.
I knew this. I knew this part because I was like, only someone from Missouri.
Only someone from a small town in Missouri would do this.
Would be like, yes, I want this cursed box.
Or really anyone in Missouri, let's be honest here.
I need some excitement in my life.
So he, too, wound up selling the box on eBay after suffering sleep problems, lights burning out around his house, smelling scents such as juniper bushes or stingy ammonia.
Like cat urine.
Like cat urine or jasmine flowers. Seeing large vertical dark blurs out of the corner of his eyes.
Love that.
And what concerned him the most was that his hair began to fall out, seemingly without an explanation. Yeah, he was not thrilled. So he sells the box. And the box is bought by a director of the Museum of Osteopathic Medicine in Kirksville, Jason Haxton.
Great.
So Haxton wrote the book on the Dybbuk box that the movie The Possession was based off of.
Oh, wow.
Haxton consults...
Yay, Missouri, represent.
Right. Well, and Haxton, he suffered a number of ailments, including welts all over his body, hives, and coughing up blood.
Oh, you know, cash.
So then he's like, we should probably seal this thing.
Maybe.
Like, maybe a little bit. And so he consulted with rabbis to try and figure out how to seal the box again.
Mm-hmm.
After that...
That's smart, at least.
Yeah, and after that, he kept it in a secret location before eventually donating it to Zach Baggins of Ghost Adventures.
I knew this. I knew this part because the hosts of And That's Why We Drink, M, either went on this tour or was telling Christine about this tour. Mm-hmm. Of the Zach Baggins, because they make fun of Zach Baggins all the time on that show.
Should.
Yeah. Rightfully so.
I don't know.
Zach Baggins at one point in time had Christine blocked on Twitter. yeah.
Oof.
M was talking about how the Dybbuk box is at this museum that you can go and visit.
So,
and people get really creepy feelings and stuff near it.
So we're about to get into that. Also, we're going to get into Zach Baggins lost a lot of respect from me. That I didn't know a person could possibly have upon just hearing their name for the first time. Because I knew nothing about Zach Baggins.
You knew nothing about Zach Baggins?
No!
From Ghost Adventures?
Ghost harassers.
Oh my gosh. Literally,
sorry,
no.
That's what I always think of
whenever
I
like
hear that.
Ghost, you know how like ghost hunters takes it a little bit seriously, even though some of them, they do make some jokes and stuff.
Yeah.
But they're pretty much taken seriously. Zach Baggins is like if the, I don't want to say emo kid... But kind of like if the emo kid was like trying to do a documentary about
that's
ghosts.
The vibe
his voice,
from this.
He does this. He's like, we're going through this haunted house to see if we're gonna find some ghosts. And then they take it not seriously at all. Him and his guys overreact to everything.
Oh no.
Not just, oh, what was that? It's, oh my god, something touched me. It's very obnoxious.
Yeah, so that definitely does sound like the Gravity Falls.
I remember
bit.
Watching a few episodes on
Jazzes.
Yes.
That's on the exactly Used to Be About History Channel.
That's exactly what it's about. I used to watch some episodes late at night, you know, on whatever channel would be on TV. Yeah. I wanted to watch Ghost Hunters, yeah. but that's what was available to me was Ghost Harassers.
So. Yeah, see, I'm more interested in like hearing people's stories than actually like seeing those Ghost Hunter things. Simply because there's so much you can edit out of those things.
Yeah, and they
or
do.
Edit into.
And they do.
Yeah, and so it's like it's not even that interesting because you don't know if these people even believe it. But at least, like, if you're watching someone, like, talking like, about their experiences.
What always gets me is they're always, cool. like, on different levels and stuff, and they're not all in the same place. I'm like, what if you just heard the other people?
Right.
Like, what if you're accidentally making noises somewhere else?
Oh, gosh.
It feels like noise pollution would be a big thing. Sorry, oh, yeah. I just got us way off track.
No, but it's appropriate because it goes along with what I'm going to go into in just a minute.
Love that.
Okay, so... Zach now keeps the box in his haunted museum yeah. in downtown Los Angeles, yeah. like Miranda was saying. So in 2018, rapper Post Malone reported a string of bad luck after joining Baggins in removing the plexiglass from around the box and touching it for the first time.
Why? Why, Post Malone? Why? I know you make bad decisions, like get face tattoos.
Because it's Post Malone. Like, come on. They did not open the box at this time. So remember, the box had been resealed by Haxton.
Good.
In early June of 2020, however,
no!
Baggins opened the box.
Oh my gosh, that's what happened.
At least that last half of 2020.
That last half of 2020, murder hornets so, came out of the box.
Here's some quotes from Baggins.
Oh yeah?
Oh yeah. It's great. I wasn't attacked. I wasn't harmed. I just felt something. I felt the power of it. To me, it felt good. I believe that it doesn't affect me as bad as it affects others around it because it knows that I am its owner.
You can't see my face right now, audience. But just know, I'm making one of those. Is he actually saying this right now, faces? You know, with the
it's
squinted
such an
eyes.
Edgelord thing
the mouth
to say.
Agape. Like, you know, just really?
Straight up edgelord. I'm sorry. So when you said the thing about the emo. I was like, oh, yeah. That goes right with this. It's like he thinks he's
I'm so
like,
brooding.
So dark and brooding that it makes him special.
And poetic.
And like I'm so much more special. Powerful than anyone else who's owned this because it recognizes me as its master. Anyway.
Does he have a squip? For those who get the reference, you get the reference. If you don't, sorry.
Anyway, another quote.
Yes.
It was a rush.
No.
I just felt a warmth through my body. I don't know if it felt like I was crossing over or something.
What?
It was an influence that it had on me. It was a feeling kind of like I felt in the demon house. And he's referring to like a demon house in Indiana that mm-hmm. he done like a documentary
he
about.
He done did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one more quote, because yes. I was like, this guy.
His comedy comes in threes.
Like. I guess. Scary and terrifying, but there's a sense of awkward enjoyment out of it.
Stop.
I guess it's hard to explain. I'm a weird guy.
Really, Zach Baggins?
I'm quirky and not like other girls.
I'm quirky and not like other
I'm
girls.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't be mean to people like this.
He's doing the Debbie Ryan hair tucked behind his ear moment, you know?
But it's like with demons.
With
and
demons.
Stuff.
I felt powerful. It was weird.
My name is Ebony what? Darkness Raven Way, and I'm...
yeah.
That's the vibe. That's the vibe those quotes gave off. And like,
yeah.
I'm sorry if he had any other quotes and like they just took these ones.
This is like the middle school like emo kid fit. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
So like I'm saying that's not necessarily all he said. This was found in an article about it.
Jesus
so he might be not like this.
I
but that article painted him in this light.
What everything I've ever heard about Zach
and I'm
Baggins.
Just like, just leave it. You know, like, leave it closed and don't try
don't
and make it,
it
out like you're some dark master of the occult or something for opening it. It was like an energy. I don't know if I was crossing
me in the box,
over or
me
what.
Me and the box were vibing.
No, that I'd accept more than anything, okay?
Cracking open
a cold one
with
the
Dybbuk
box. I mean, technically, it's a wine box, so. So there is one more thing I want to say about it.
Mm-hmm. About Zach Baggins or about the Dybbuk box?
Kind of about Zach Baggins, a little bit. Anyway, I'll get a discuss. We'll discuss this in a moment.
Oh yes.
Okay. So there are some skeptics.
Yes.
you know, surrounding the box.
Of course, like everything.
There's a good quote from Chris French, who is the head of the Animalistic Psychology Research Unit at Goldsmiths College.
Okay.
He has been quoted as saying that he believed those who purchased the box were already primed to be looking out for bad stuff. If you believe you have been cursed, then inevitably you explain the bad stuff that happens in terms of what you perceive to be the cause. Put it like this, I would be happy to own this object. I think he has a point.
Except for the fact...
The thing is, I believe that some of these incidents were definitely like a curse.
Like
the original dude who didn't believe that any of it was paranormal. That's what I'm saying.
All of it's psychosomatic because he was like, all these people are telling me there's something wrong with the box. I don't think there's anything wrong with the box, but all this weird stuff's happening to me.
Yeah, and so... With
Zach Bagans, I think he's full of crap.
Zach Bagans is almost definitely like that. The thing that gets me is that the Truman State College student, he reported signs that were very similar to Manus.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, you know, it could have been one way or the other with him, although I'm kind of leaning more towards the, that's kind of weird vibe, you know? Haxton is a little bit more difficult because by that point, the Dybbuk box had notoriety.
Yeah.
Like, he had something to gain from it. He wrote a book about it, that sort of thing. Now, do I believe that he had health issues? Sure. I mean, there's probably a record of that. Do I necessarily think it had to deal with the box?
Yeah, it could be. Like,
but not necessarily because, again...
That just happens sometimes.
Yeah, because, again, it had notoriety by this point.
And were you suddenly cured when you got rid of the box?
Yeah. And that could also be psychosomatic, you know?
Yeah.
That's where it gets a little dicey. And then there's the Zach Bagans level, where it's like a way of making yourself special.
Yeah.
Is you want to experience... And that's really what draws people to, like, these cursed objects in the first place.
Yeah.
They want to see if it's going to happen to them, almost.
See, I don't want to know if it's going to happen to me.
I want it far away from me.
Yeah. Because I'm like...
I don't need
that. It could not happen to me, but I don't even want to give it the chance.
Exactly. Because the thing is...
Because why?
We're special in our own ways anyway.
We already have enough problems. We don't need cursed objects on top of it. Like being so desperate to have some kind of paranormal encounter.
Oh, yeah, that you go and harass ghosts.
Basically, as much as it would be cool to, like, go investigate these abandoned places that are supposedly haunted and stuff.
Right.
And whatnot, I'm also a scaredy cat.
I also have a family that I love and don't need them being cursed because of me.
Well, like, yeah, but besides that, like, as much as I would love to do that, there's a difference between going and, like, seeing these cool places at night and, like, the creepy atmosphere and stuff.
Yeah, there's one thing to do on a ghost tour.
On a ghost tour or just go by yourself, like, in a small group or something and investigate, maybe even ask some questions, but it's different than to go in and go, hey... Are you there? Can you do something nice? Because it'd be really cool if you could do that.
Hey, guys, you want to possess me?
Possess me, speak through me, spirit. That's just asking for bad things to happen to you.
Yeah.
But also so much to the fact that I don't think any self-respecting spirit would do that.
So I study psychology. And part of that goes into the placebo effect. That can happen a lot with these cursed objects.
Yeah. I feel like I could hand really someone, I could take this box that's on my floor, hand it to someone and say, this is cursed. Do not open this box. And the person's going to open the box.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that kind of like a trope in some like cartoons or kids shows where it's a lucky item?
Yeah.
And it gets lost, and so someone replaces it with the fault. Because you believed in yourself. Well, that can kind of technically happen. I mean, again, we see it with the placebo effect all the time.
I like the shows where, like, they try to replace it with something, and then it doesn't work. They're like, it really was a lucky item.
They're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
The thing that really intrigues me about Manus's case is that, well, first of all, he's stated outright that he's not a religious person.
Yeah.
So... He had no reason to believe this. Again, he gets the thing and is told, oh, it's cursed and whatnot. But, like, he doesn't really pay it any mind. I guess you could posit the theory that he was trying to sell it for, like, a higher value or something. Saying it's a cursed object would get in more money.
Well, yeah, but why not?
However, he didn't really know much about, or from what I gathered, he didn't seem to know much about cursed objects and was basically just begging someone to take it. He also said that, you know, he's not going to handle transactions outside of eBay for people who, you know, want to pay more after the eBay auction's over, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. He's like, nope, not doing it. I'm selling it to whoever gets it.
Yeah.
So I don't think that...
I honestly believe the ones at the beginning really, definitely took place... And then the original owner who bought it off eBay, I think he experienced some stuff.
Well, yeah, especially
when you get into the guy who wrote the book and stuff, that's a little bit more questionable because it feels like he was planning on it.
Yeah, but at the same time, he did take it to get sealed.
I know, though that I appreciate he doing it the right way, even if you don't actually experience the things you claim to be experiencing.
I feel like he should have made Zach Bagans, like, sign something, though.
Right? That said he wasn't going to open it?
Yeah.
Maybe they should have actually sealed it closed, like, with, I don't know, glue?
Concrete,
yeah.
Anyway, in closing, I don't trust Zach Bagans.
No.
As a human, I'm sorry.
No.
I've never seen anything of his, so take that with a grain of salt.
Yes, and here's my piece of advice. If your great-grandmother says, don't open this, don't open it.
And if she says she wants to be buried with it.
Maybe bury her with it. Sneak into the graveyard.
Or just bury it in your backyard at the very least.
There's probably a lot of cursed objects buried in our backyard.
Yeah, like an old pond. Anyway.
Several old ponds.
And also a lot of building equipment. Our yard's a mess.
I swear they probably were just trying to hide a body or something. And they're like, I know. Let's put a bunch of garbage a layer above so you won't ever get to the body. Anywho, what do you think's buried in our backyard? You can email us at matterthanacaterpillar@gmail.com or visit us on Instagram at matterthanacaterpillar.
Or if, you know, you have any theories about the Dybbuk box or have any thoughts about how all of this fits into our crazy, wacky world, I don't know. You can tweet at us or slide into our DMs at matterthanacat on Twitter.
And we also have a Facebook page, Ray. Yeah. You can find it on Facebook at ITYW Podcast or at I'll Tell You What with a period instead of an ellipses. I'm still upset about it.
Yeah, Miranda's always going to be upset about that, I'm pretty sure.
I'm never going to get over it.
Or check us out on our totally active TikTok. What? At Madden the Caterpillar as well.
Yes, we post on there so often. So
we've been tired,
often.
Okay, guys. The end of 2020 was hard, but we made it through, man.
We're just elderly 20 somethings, okay? Okay.
We're so old.
And with that, we'll leave you with this. Tell your mom.
Tell your dad.
Tell your friends.
Tell the FBI agent listening through your phone.
And tell the Dybbuk box, which is your closet. And good night.
Don't put that curse on my closet. Sometimes it freaks me out enough at night.
Close it.
I can't. My room's too big of a mess.
Oof.